Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
An ace New York Post columnist and a Fox News contributor and author of the book Laptop from Hell, Hunter Biden, Big Tech, and the Dirty Secrets the Presidents Tried to Hide. Miranda and I were talking on the TV show about the Tucker Carlson tapes that the Democrats and some Republicans did not want shown. Miranda, welcome. Thank you for your time on the weekend. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Yep. So tell us, to advance this story, so the tapes were shown, and it was a bad day for America. There's no question about that. You wrote that. There's no sugarcoating what happened. It was shocking and had some violence. But it was not an insurrection. It was not a terrorist attack. Nobody's been charged with insurrection. That's partly the important implications of what Tucker Carlson was showing. Where's this story now? How do you see this?
Well, I think, you know, we're seeing now moves to try and get Jacob Chansley, who's the QAnon shaman, out of jail. Mm. I think his lawyer says it'll be difficult, but this footage showing him being escorted around the Capitol by police, walking straight past, you know, a dozen police and then two police officers opening doors for him and, you know, helping him get into the Senate chamber. It's just completely opposed to the narrative that not only that the American public has been told, but also that the prosecutors said at his trial, and he's now sitting in jail, 41 months trial for disrupting an official proceeding. No violence. This is the guy wearing the face paint and the Viking hat. You know, completely harmless person, and yet he's got almost 4 years in jail. And he's a naval veteran. He has PTSD. It's just impossibly cruel what's happened to him. And I don't know if you have heard this, but there was some more footage that was uncovered just yesterday of Jacob Chansley outside the Capitol with his megaphone. And he's standing right at a locked door. And there's a huge crowd in front of him. And he's sort of yelling at them through the megaphone. He's saying, Donald Trump just tweeted. He said, go home, go home. Mm. And people are yelling back at him, and he's saying, no, you have to go home. And then someone disagrees with him, and he pulls out his phone and he shows them the tweet. Mm. And so he's really, like, in this situation, you'd almost call him a good guy. Mm. From, you know, he's one of the least harmful people in the crowd, and yet he's spending 4 years in jail. And I think Jonathan Turley, the Fox legal analyst, put it best when he said he was jailed for a costume.
Yeah, right. You know, I hadn't seen that footage. Was that on Tucker last night or something?
No, it just turned up on Twitter last night. So I'm presuming that it's not actually from the Capitol police footage, but surveillance footage. But there's a whole lot of body cam footage that has started to make its way out into the public.
You know, there's a lot. I mean, I guess hundreds of people stuck in very terrible conditions in the Washington, D.C. jail system. And they're just stuck there. Like, we don't know. It's just sort of hard to know who's committed crimes and who hasn't committed crimes. I mean, seems to me that's part of the injustice of this thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, part of the problem is that you have people who have not gone to trial yet. They are in pretrial detention for 2 years. Mm. They're denied bail over and over. These people are, you know, most of them are not rich. They come from, you know, all over the country, from Arkansas and Mississippi and Kansas, and they can't afford $500,000 for legal representation. So they have, for the most part, they've got public defenders, and from the stories that have been told about public defenders, they look down on them. They feel that they are, you know, deplorables and insurrectionists, and that they need to get up and before the court swear that Donald Trump is the second coming of the devil, and renounce him and all his works. I mean, it really is a gulag situation. That's why they call it the gulag. And also, they're being housed in a separate part of the jail, probably for their own safety, I mean, I would imagine. But they're being treated as if they're white supremacists. Yeah. This is this is Joe Biden's fault. He's run this line more vigorously than anyone else. He in fact said it in his inauguration speech that's still being praised as being a unifying speech. It was not. He paid lip service to unity, but he also said some really malicious and defamatory things about Trump supporters, and including that they were white supremacists. And so he has seeded this view of these people when there was nothing to do with race. Absolutely nothing to do with race. It is true that the crowd, for the most part, was white, but it doesn't mean they're white supremacists. They're just the people who travelled to Washington, D.C. to hear Donald Trump speak. And, the majority of the people being held in the D.C. gulag are military veterans. And this is how they're repaid.
People did attack the cops, though, yes?
Absolutely. And it was a minority of them, and that's unforgivable.
Right.
And, of course, they should go to jail for that. Police were injured. I think something like 100 police were injured. I'm not forgiving that or underplaying it. But I will say that those Capitol Police officers were put in an impossible situation. They were completely outnumbered, and that may explain why there were police opening doors and ushering these people around the Capitol to try and keep the heat down. And that's what, in fact, they say when we ask them, why did you do that? They said we were, trying to calm the crowd.
But de-escalate.
De-escalate is their word, yeah. But the reason that they were left unprotected, the police, was a deliberate choice by Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell. And people keep on denying that Nancy Pelosi had control of the Capitol Police, but of course she did, not directly, but through the Sergeant-at-Arms. There's a House Sergeant-at-Arms and there's a Senate Sergeant-at-Arms, and they're controlled by Pelosi and McConnell, respectively. And from what Stephen Sund, the Capitol Police Chief, who was fired by Pelosi same day, from what he has told me, and from what he wrote in his book as well, so largely, McConnell's guy was deferring to Pelosi's guy. He was begging them for days before the Capitol riot to allow the National Guard to come in. He was rejected. And then finally, on the day, as the crowd is getting closer, as the crowd is getting larger, and as they're starting to break in, and as they're in the building, his pleas are becoming ever more desperate, and still he doesn't get what he wants. And it's Pelosi's guy who says, look, I'm trying, I've sent it up the line, I'm waiting for approval. And up the line is Pelosi. And of course it suits Pelosi. I don't know when she would have made that decision, before the Capitol riot, when they knew that, that there were rumors a million people were coming to Washington. Of course, you were going to have some sort of a crowd control issue. We knew that they were going to march towards the Capitol because they had booked, had permits for legitimate crowd.
I'm running out of time. Yeah. But I agree. Trump wanted 20,000 people. That part of the story is crazy. Miranda Devine, New York Post. Thank you very, very, very much.
Thanks, Larry.